Don't tread on my bottle, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into Friday, TGIF, January 30th, 2026 edition. Your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be hearing from some candidates. We're going to have a history lesson in the second hour. We've got a couple of news stories coming out of Lansing that we're going to cover. It's going to be a great show. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of it. Text line is open, 231-360-5140. Just like Officer Rick, Simple Radio is loud and clear from Genesee County, working out as a road patrol officer today. Stay safe out there, brother, and stay warm. Studio this morning, -8 degrees on the thermometer outside. Wind chills, they're saying, was roughly -14. And man, the vehicles did not want to start this morning. But it did, and thank God for the heat. And sun is shining, blue skies, white, big, puffy clouds here at the studio. Give me a weather report, what things are like over by you. Greatly appreciate that. In our second hour, Pastor Rusty Chatfield, American imperialism. Imperialism. Going to be a good topic, good discussion with him. Looking forward to it. Robert Cook reporting in for duty over in the Presque County area. Funny, your water dam segment. We're going through the same problem with Eagle at Grand Lake. Stupid asses protecting a mussel. Unbelievable. Well, it led to the Edenville Dam's failure. They didn't lower the lake levels, the pressure on the dam, the spillway, the embankment. Liquefied the soil underneath, weakening the foundations, blew out that dam, went all the way down to Sanford Lake, blew that dam, and people all along that waterway lost their lakefront property. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So we're excited about today's show. I don't have time to read long stories or long text messages, but basically, same thing happening over in Presque Isle County. Hey, one thing I did want to mention that you need to know about, and I mentioned on yesterday's show, mark your calendars, Saturday, 4th of July, LibertyMountainUSA.com is the website. They're going to be putting things together over the weekend, launching out hopefully on Monday or Tuesday, ticket sales. This is going to be a big birthday bash for America 250. And we have Mark Farner's American Band as the key band that is going to be playing there on Saturday night, 4th of July. Going to be at Liberty Mountain, USA, located at off of M-115 in Clare County, Michigan. Actually, it's Farwell, Michigan. And it's going to be a great concert. As soon as his band's done playing, we are going to start blasting out some fireworks that's going to be unforgettable. This will be the biggest fireworks display you've probably seen anywhere. and it'll be seen for miles around because it's going off at the top of the mountain. Going to be phenomenal. So mark your calendars, and I'll let you know when the ticket sales open up. You'll be able to participate and be part of it. So we're excited. We got a lot of things happening today. Looking forward to the weekend. Hopefully we can warm up a little bit, maybe get some clouds, but with that, that is going to bring the snow. So today and tomorrow, they're saying clear skies, sunny, cold, but clear, no snow. Might get a little bit this evening, but it is going to be clear on Saturday. So any honeydews you want to do tomorrow, probably a good day to do it. And then hunker down. The snow's coming back. February is going to be winter. So we're excited. Looking forward to it. And we will continue on here. We're going to take a short break. Word from our sponsors. And then Justin Michael, candidate for the 1st Congressional District, coming on today. Short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, Positive Thinking, and Daily Pep Talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment here on this Friday, January 30th. Joining us on the line right now is Justin Michael, He is a candidate for the 1st Congressional District, U.S. House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Cold, cold, cold. Cliff Cellini just texted me in, minus 14 this morning in Onaway. We had it minus 8 here at the studio. Sun is shining, beautiful, looks great out, but man, is it cold, brother. Hey,
I want you.
Hey, yeah. Justin, I wanted to ask you, because I check out social media. I stalk you. I stalk a few other people. I always like to keep up to date on their posts and everything. And you got a couple of comments that I wanted to ask you about so that you could clear the air, go on the record, if you will. Someone posted about you not making any comments about the ICE shootings out in Minnesota. And they asked why you didn't do it. And I'd like to get your response to that question and get into more details of it. You've been, of course, serving in the military. You understand very well taking orders and doing your job. But was there a particular reason why you didn't post anything about those shootings in Minnesota?
Yeah, so leadership to me is not about making knee-jerk emotional reactions based on constructed public narratives to drive division in our country. Many politicians often feel obligated to make statements every time something happens, and a lot of those times it's really prematurely. And a great example of it is actually this current situation with ICE. If you look into it, ICE is blamed, but you have two Border Patrol agents that are actually on administrative leave for their direct involvement in the shooting in Minnesota. So you have politicians that go out there and they start making these statements because it's an emotional knee-jerk reaction, but the facts aren't in. And I'm running for office. I'm not a news anchor. I'm not someone that's going to go out there and speculate what's happening or try to understand the gravity of a situation until I have all the facts. And sometimes you're not privy to all those things. And anyone that comes out and says, I know, they're not privy to that information either. And when you see people make those knee-jerk emotional reactions, I think it lessens them as leaders. And you can go on and see everybody making public statements about it. But until the facts actually come in, I don't want to say anything. The only time you'll really see me make public statements about things is if something happens directly in our district. And I understand the contention of what's going on with ICE in our country, but ICE isn't the problem. Division is the problem. And historically, we've seen this narrative on both sides of the political spectrum. You know, you had the CIA in the 60s and the 70s to blame. Then you had the FBI in the 80s. Then you had the ATF in the 90s. You had the NSA, you know, the early to mid 2000s. Then you had the FBI again in the last administration. And now they're blaming ICE. And all that does is divide people. And I'm not someone who's going to come out and make political statements that deepen division. I'm trying to go out there and say, hey, can we have conversations and open dialogue? And when I make political statements or I make positional statements on things that I know really nothing about other than what I'm getting on television or social media, I don't think that's good representation.
Well, on that point, they're having an investigation. They're bringing forth all the videos that are out there. They're looking at all the information. And basically, from all the information I'm seeing and hearing about from real news sources, people that actually interviewed these people, it appears that the shootings were by the book, you know, based on training and based on officers' experience, life experience. The bottom line, the guys that pulled the trigger, basically, they were responding to a potential threat, a perceived threat. And you've lived that. You've been in those situations. People have, you know, pointed guns at you and done other threatening things, and you had to respond accordingly and or follow orders. And that's basically what I thought they were doing.
Well, we always say time will tell, right? You have two people that are on administrative leave. And I think we have to look at this from a perspective. We're always looking as a society to demonize people, to blame people for things. right? Even when we're hurting emotionally, and sometimes people don't have a reason to be blamed, people are always looking to push blame onto others. You can't tell me that those law enforcement officers wake up in the morning, look at themselves in the mirror and say, today is a day that I want to go do something bad that could potentially ruin my life, or that I could make a poor decision to go out and harm my family or my credibility or my career, endanger my life. People don't want that. And when you're looking at where we're at currently in our country and in the fuel that's being driven by political parties to create division, and we're going to talk about division, I'm sure, later, because you know there's a lot of things going on, some votes that need to happen, things like that. But you're looking at this from a perspective. No one wants to go out and ruin their life in a day. And we need to let the investigations and all of the hearsay go to rest, come up with the conclusions before we can sit here and evaluate the statements that we need to make. We all understand that any loss of life is tragic and a travesty. We understand that. But you have to get to the facts first before we just want to assume blame. And in our country, for some reason, we went away from you're innocent until proven guilty to you're guilty until you're proven innocent.
Right, and right.
I don't agree with that.
Well, you know, moving on into the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives, you know, they're coming up against a deadline, and the Democrats are saying, okay, we have specific demands of changes we want made as far as the way ICE is operating before we pass this budget. They're almost threatening that they're, well, according to the test vote, not only Democrats, but 7 Republicans joined them in the test vote yesterday. And it looks like they're preparing to shut the government down unless these changes are made. And do you feel that that's the obvious best place for this to have a discussion, or do these investigations have to play out and come out with the reports, basically, like you say, you know, proving these people innocent or guilty, whatever, but they're starting to use it as a political football in Washington, D.C.
So to unpack this, you have to look at multiple angles. The first is public opinion, right? The optics of ICE right now and how the news and social media is projecting ICE is not a good look. And public opinion is fluctuating back and forth on how to handle that. But that's a creative narrative. It doesn't necessarily mean it's reality, but that's the narrative that people are seeing. The Democrats are looking at it like a way to boost their popularity. We know that Democrat numbers are down, and we know that they're getting fueled up and angered, and the one thing that drives fundraising is division. They're grasping for things to hold on to. It was healthcare, and then healthcare disappeared. Now it's ICE. And you're blaming ICE for these shootings, but again, 2 Border Patrol agents are on administrative leave for their direct involvement. So when you're looking at that perspective, you're asking yourself or saying to yourself, is this going to be effective for the Democrats? Now, a lot of Democrats, even locally, have been out and protesting against ICE, and it's become this social trend to talk about it. In the House, they're driving ICE in the way that they're doing it, but you're also punishing ICE for the actions of a few officers. No one's telling a good story about ICE and their involvement, and I can guarantee you that not every ICE officer in this country is bad. In fact, I would argue that 99% of them are good people, just doing their job as they're instructed. So when you're looking at this, why are we going to shut down the government? Again, putting close to 1 million people at risk of not being able to pay for their, you know, homes or pay for their debt or feed their families because you view the actions of some of the people that represent law enforcement as being toxic to America. And go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got a text message. I'd like you to respond. Division is not the problem. 18 million illegal aliens is the issue, and the libs defending them. This is a distraction from the fraud that's happening in Minnesota, and they are trying to divert the media's attention away from it. I'd like you to respond to that.
Yeah, that's a great text, actually, and I appreciate that. So any type of social issue is generated to cause division. The division is in the dollars and the cents. You're talking every election cycle is a $15 billion industry, not to mention all the money that goes into advertising and other factors. The further we keep each other apart on social issues, whether it's immigration or whether it's law enforcement, whether it's fraud, no matter what it is, the further we keep each other apart, the more money is generated and made. That's a business. And that's where division is created. It's created in the narratives. It's created in the perspectives. We do have an illegal immigration problem in the United States. Are we effectively handling that in the way that we should? Do we have the capacity in law enforcement to handle that perspective? And I don't know that we do. I don't know that we have enough federal agents to handle that. I don't know if the systems are in place. And I'm saying I don't know that, not because I'm not willing to do the research. It's because I'm not privy to how those processes are working. I want this country to have legal immigration and for us not to have illegals in our country. That's breaking the law. But I don't know the extent to which we're able to enforce that effectively or currently in this country. I know Donald Trump is pushing right now to have that happen. I know the ICE agents are working deliberately every day to try to enforce our immigration laws, as is Customs and Border Patrol. I've seen a lot more presence of them lately than I have in years. But again, this is about driving division in our country. If we can keep the eye off the prize by distracting you with other things,
sure,
then people are going to be divided, and they don't want to have conversations, and they don't want to work together to come up with a solution to fix real problems like immigration or the economy or other factors.
So what you're basically saying is, in order to facilitate that, to reach those goals, objectives, we basically just have to have better civil discourse.
Absolutely. I mean, if Congress wasn't divided right now, how effective would they be? Would we actually get stuff done? Would we do more than 5% of passing legislation in a year? Would we be shutting the government down? If we could actually have conversations where we can sit down and be respectful and say, what's best for the country versus what's best for our pocketbooks or our special interest groups, or we have a campaign cycle, what's best for us obtaining power? If we could eliminate that struggle and that division, the country would be much better off. Much better off. But yeah. No one wants to do that because it's not economically sound. And that's a tragedy and a travesty in this country.
And I got a couple of people say they like what they're hearing. I'd like to go to your website, learn more about you. What is your website?
JustinMichaelForCongress.com.
And that's F-O-R, spelled out?
Yes.
Yeah. And Justin Michael, M-I-C-H-A-L, no E. So greatly appreciate your thoughts this morning, Justin. Stay warm, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, bud. You take care. Be safe.
Economy Hour News of Hour Number 1. We'll be right back.